Welcome, comedy fans. It's an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, episode number 94, Mr. Ron Funches is joining us. Now, he's just back from a wrestling vacation. Everybody, it's your host, Vinny Paulino.
He was not wrestling, just to be specific.
With my demons.
you participated in no physical activity, though.
I had to stand in a lot of the lines, and I had to walk around a lot.
Yeah.
Did you wear comfy shoes?
Nope.
Did you get one of those foot pads like people use when they're washing dishes?
Foot pads?
I brought one of those. I kept it in my backpack. I rolled it up and would just stand on it.
That's very smart.
Like my aunt when she does dishes.
Do you do that at your Star Trek conventions, Ross?
Of course I do. No, I'm a professional. What are you talking about?
No, he has knee pads at his Star Trek convention.
Welcome to today's episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast.
Firing shots right out of
Yes,
the gate.
Mr. Shatner, I wanted an autograph. I didn't know I meant this, but...
Beam me up.
Captain Bob.
In my face.
My dick. Okay, let's not down this road.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Might have to start muting some mics around here.
Yeah, we take a week off and everybody just goes nuts.
And makes fun of Ross.
Yeah.
Which is all right.
I've got some frustration.
I'm just happy for the attention.
Okay. Well, today's going to be a cool episode. I did go on a little bit of a wrestling vacation, but you know who was there with me? Our guest today, Mr. Ron Funches.
Hell yeah.
Yes, he was.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just learned that just now.
Wrestling fan. Yep.
Okay.
He was there. He performed at StarCast Improv. He did a pretty great set from what I understand. I missed it, unfortunately.
Are they
at
a comedy tent there?
Yes. Stop talking over me.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yes, they have comics over there. I'm so mean. I'm being a jerk today. I'm really cranky. It was a long drive back, and it's been a long week being here.
Yeah, you've
so.
Only had like 7 days to recover from it. I can't imagine why
That's
you're
not
still
true.
Cranky.
It's like been two, and I'm delicate. So it's going to be a good show. We're going to talk to Ron Funches, and the text lines are open, so submit your questions. If you've got something you want to ask him about, because we're going to talk to him about wrestling and comic books. Probably.
Yes, probably.
So if you have anything else you'd like to ask Ron, now is the time. Start texting 585-484-0265. And also, for those of you who are listening overseas, thank you. We love you. There's a ton of them. It's blowing my mind how
number
many people.
Number one in Tanzania.
We're number three in Tanzania.
Oh,
how about
man.
Oh, no. We're
how about this?
Three.
How about we're like number 60 in Canada?
Wow.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of funny people.
We love our friends in the north.
Yeah, our friends in the north. Australia, we're charting in the top 100. And in Great Britain, we're doing pretty well, too. So
they need a laugh over there.
Here's what I want. I want to shut up Brian and Ross. If you're listening to this show overseas, send me an email at carlsoncast@gmail.com and just let us know how you found the show and where you're listening from. Would be fascinated by this because the numbers are showing you're out there. We want to meet you. So send us an email. And those of you who are right here in Rochester, New York, who love comedy at the Carlson and are our patrons, buy a ticket to see Ron Funches tonight. We're going to be back in the Rickles Room coming up on October 11th. Hit my screen, please. We have new comic night.
I'm very excited to have this back again.
For all you upstate and western New Yorkers, come on down to comedy at the Carlson. We are giving away 20 spots. It is a drawing. There is no guaranteed spot for anyone. But it is a lot of fun. We are going to be scouting the room that night, and we hope to find some great new talent for a comedy at the Carlson. So please be here for new comic night on October 11th.
Yes, always a very good time.
Do we get all the BS out of the way?
I think so, yeah.
We just got to tell the people about what's coming up?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do that. Oh, man. We just announced a whole bunch of new shows here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out on Brian Ball. Tell the people about it.
I'm going to. This very weekend, Ron Funches. He's still got 4 shows left this weekend to come see him. We have the hilarious Harlan Williams, September 12th through the 14th. And September 19th through the 21st, Marlon Wayans is coming over. And Doug Stanhope, one night only on September 24th. Marcelo Arguello on September 26th through the 28th. We have Derek Gaines October 3rd through the 5th. And Mike Vecchione October 10th through
Vecchione.
The
12th.
Vecchione. And Sashir Zameda, one of my absolute favorites, October 17th through the 19th.
Yeah, but what about Mike?
Michelle Wolf, October 25th and 26th. Rocky LaPorte, November 1st and 2nd. Bobby Slayton's coming back, November 7th through the 9th. Always a big favorite around here. Gary Goldman, November 14th through the 16th. Vicky Barbalak, November 21st, 23rd. Ah! And Thanksgiving Eve.
There's a skeeter out his peter whacking off.
Himself. Chris Fanjola on December 5th through the 7th. Pete Corelli on December 12th through the 14th. And one of our favorites here, April Macy, December 19th through the 21st. And my mortal enemy, Rich Voss, December 26th through the 28th. And Tim Meadows himself, January 2nd through the 4th. Please come out, and if you want to eat tickets, check us out at 5854comedy or carlsoncomedy.com. See you at the show, everybody.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the time of the day where we usually start our interview.
Yes.
Usually, our guest is sitting on the couch.
Ron Funches is a very busy man.
He's a very busy guy. I'm not going to give him grief. He's a business he's taking care of.
I can hear him approaching.
Yeah, you can always
hear
him
approaching Ron Funches.
But he's an important guy.
Yeah, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the couch.
Right on time.
Mr. Ron Funches.
Ron Funches.
How's it going, man?
Great. How are you guys doing? Let me talk into a microphone.
That is my new favorite Dudley Boys t-shirt.
Thank you.
I love the hell out of that.
It's just Bubba's shirt. It's just a shirt that I bought from a guy who bought it from Bubba. It's just a ring worn. It had his sweat on it.
Oh, my God. That's nope. Not a reproduction.
No, it's not a shirt for sale. It was too much money and no longer fits me, but I still wear it because I spent the money for it.
Why not? Why not? Welcome back to Rochester, man.
Thanks for having me.
You have had what most people would call a pretty good year.
Thank you.
Since the last time you were here, man.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. A lot of things going well. Been in a relationship for the past year. I assume that's what you're talking about.
Of course. Of course. I'm not talking about your movie coming out. I'm not talking about your comedy special. Let's talk about your romantic relationship.
It's going well. It came out of the blue. It was just this thing where I had... got in a relationship with another lady, and then I was dating around for a bit, and we went on a couple of dates. I didn't think that she would want anything to do with me because she looks like too traditionally hot. She was too traditionally hot of a lady, so I was like, you must be looking for some actor or something. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm an actor.
What a coincidence.
What a coinkydink.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet her?
I met her online on Bumble. I thought she was a fake robot. I thought she was. She had one picture, and her opening line was like, I've been looking for a gentleman, and the perfect one has appeared. And I was like, oh, fuck you. Who are you?
Right.
You know? But it turns out that she was a real person. She's very sweet. She's just from a tiny town of 1,000 Canadians, so she didn't know how to talk to people.
That'll do it. I got to be honest with you. That's most of Bret Hart's problem, too. Right?
So you're with a Canadian.
I'm with a Canadian, yeah. She's
so
great.
Can you, if you guys get married, can you run away to Canada if need be?
I feel like that's a big plus in the relationship. Yeah.
That a woman that comes with an escape route.
Yeah, with dual citizenship. Yeah. It'd be great. Yeah. Either one of us, back and forth. It depends, you know? Things get weird.
If that Justin Trudeau goes nuts.
Things go weird up north, too.
Yeah.
Things go weird up north.
Rob Ford? Come on.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. And then his brother. I liked his brother better because his brother had a silly name. Do you remember his brother, Dougie?
Dougie, that's a fun name.
Like, Rob died, and then, like, Dougie decided he was going to run for mayor, and he was just as ridiculous.
Rob Ford is Vinny's spirit animal.
It might be. He might be, but without the crack, and maybe I fall down more? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, relationship, a year in.
Yeah.
That serious? Is it heading somewhere real serious?
It just feels good. You know, I'm trying to be patient, especially since I'm in a position of where I was married before and stuff. So I don't want to rush into anything, but it definitely feels the best of any relationship that I've had in a long time. Otherwise, it would have been done by now. Usually, it was like 7 months, and by then, I was like, I want to try something else. But she's been good. She's been good with my son. My mom likes her. It's great.
Those are two wins right there.
Yeah, those are two difficult wins. Those are away games for sure.
That's like away games in Foxborough.
Those are away games. I'm going to use that for the rest of my life.
How's your son doing?
He's doing great. He's doing real good. 16, just solid teenager. Just sometimes he's real spoiled right now. He's real spoiled. And just all our conversations are just him asking me to buy him things. So I gotta figure out that I got because he.
That's the age they do that.
Yeah. It seems normal. It seems normal.
Buy him what he wants. Go out on a date.
Yeah, well, I try to, but then he doesn't care. Like I at least say thank you, like or something. But he doesn't even say thank you anymore.
Really?
But I do also like because we came from such poor means, and he's he has autism and stuff. I do like the fact that he is an entitled asshole, though. That makes me a little bit like, okay, you live a life where you just think things are coming, and that's good. That makes me happy.
Is it good?
It's good as long as I continue to provide those things. Yeah,
sure.
So I think it's just good in the fact that you don't. I like, because when my whole life I grew up poor, and I just, if something happened, it was great. I like that my son doesn't expect to be poor.
Yeah, you always want your kids to have an easier time than you had.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from on that. I mean, you really did have an interesting childhood. It's your mom and your sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you guys, I remember you were telling us last time you were here that you used to love going to the video store and grabbing either a wrestling video or a stand-up comedy tape.
Yeah, and watching some old WCWs or...
And now your kid gets to sit front row to pretty much either one of those events if he
wants.
If
he wanted to go, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. I got to beg him to go to wrestling events with me.
You're kidding me.
Mm-mm. No, he doesn't care for them that much.
So he's not perfect, then.
Yeah. No, I take him to like Family Guy table reads and stuff like that. And I gotta I don't even work here. This isn't fun for me.
That's still pretty cool though.
It's cool. No, I mean to me that's amazing that I can do that. That's what we did for his birthday this last year, because I had some friends that worked there. And that was the best part, is that the whole time he was a jerk the whole way.
Because
it was a surprise. He didn't know where we were going. And so I was like, we're going to go on a surprise. He's like, I go, if there's anywhere you could go, where would you want to go? He just goes, breakfast.
he's just being practical.
Yeah. I could sure go for breakfast right now.
What an entitled little
asshole. Woke me up early, took me out of here, and messed up my whole routine. I was supposed to be eating pancakes by now.
That's hysterical. Then he gets to go see family. Go see the Family Guy table. How did he react when he found out where he was going?
He was excited once he saw it. Once he knew where he was, he was happy. He was real happy, and he changed his tune.
But did he ever get breakfast?
He got breakfast there. They had breakfast there. That's why I didn't give him breakfast, because I wanted him to have the whole experience and sit there and eat breakfast and watch them run through this episode.
There's nothing more important than giving a boy his first experience with craft services. It's really important. that's a real coming of age moment between a father and a son. Try these cheat little bites of cheese they got over here.
Yeah, they got a little bit of everything, and then if it's near the bottom, just wait, a new tray's coming.
You got to train them how a buffet works.
Don't settle for them bottom scraps.
No. So you've been doing more acting. You have a movie coming out.
Yeah.
It's coming out in October, right?
Yeah, October 11th. It's called Jexy. Stars Adam Devine. Who else is in it? Alexandra Shipp from the X-Men franchise.
Wow.
And Michael Pena. And I'm Black Best Friend. Nice. Classic movie trope.
I was always a fan of the classics myself. But when you do... when you get cast in a movie, man, have you done other movies besides, like, voiceover stuff?
I've done a couple movies. I was in a movie, like, that's what made me really excited about this and really grateful, is that the last time I was in, like, a live-action movie that actually came out, like, I've been in some movies that never came out, but when I came out, it was, like, I was 140 pounds heavier. I was in that Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie, Get Hart, and that was, like, the last time that I was, like, man, I was so excited because I had just moved to L.A., and so then I was, like, okay, because every year or, you know, I'm going to get a movie. And then it took like another 4 or 5 years. Right. And so I'm just really happy to see it, especially me and my buddy Gabe went to one of the screenings and just seeing my name, you know, because even then on that one, I was so deep in the cast, my name doesn't come up until like you're like scrolling through the credits. But on this one is like Adam Devine, Alexander Shipp, and then it says Ron Funches. And I was like, what the fuck? That's so cool. It made me so happy.
Moving up in the credits.
Yeah. And just, yeah. And just being on screen.
So like after you see that, like, do you even stay for the movie? Do you just go out to your car and just like, I can go now?
Oh, I had to say, I loved it. My favorite part though was just the fact that they gave us free popcorn and candy, and I was like, that is a phenomenal value. That's a $40 value, and like we each got popcorns. Come on.
And my name's on the screen.
Yes.
Hell yeah. And all you had to do was film for like 4 weeks.
Yeah, that was it. It's in San Francisco in January in a kickball field. It was cold as shit.
Yeah.
And it looks it in the movie.
You can see the cold.
You can see it. It's supposed to be nighttime, but you can tell it's early morning.
Count me in. I'm going to go check this movie out, man.
Check it out. It's funny. It's silly. It's stupid. It's just the phone says a lot of silly stuff. It's great.
So, you know, do you feel like there's less like comedy movies out in the theaters?
Oh, there's
days?
Most definitely. It's not a feel. That's a fact. Yeah. Yeah. They're leaning away from comedies. There's only like there's that one, the what is it, the new one with the kids, I forgot the name of it.
Oh yeah, I know, the R-rated one,
Good Boys or something like that. Yeah, and so, and that's been the first one in a long time. It's just that they moved away from comedies into more of the action franchises. It's just also because I think because overseas markets count so much now, and comedy is so cultural based, and so what's funny here isn't funny there. But you know, Thor throwing someone around translates everywhere, you know? So that's just kind of probably why it's happening. But hopefully there's a resurgence. I filmed this independent one that I'm really excited about called Golden Arm, where we just, it's like about ladies arm wrestling, and it's like just a bunch of UCB people, and Betsy Sidero is
it's
like
about time
star.
That sport got the respect it
deserves. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And hopefully it comes out and people really like it. But because that's what I grew up loving is these old or just small comedies, like, you know, not even just growing up, but like things like Hot Rod, like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just these kind of just small, low budget comedies. I love them, and I think that we need more of them.
I couldn't agree with you more on that, because like you said, that's what I came up on. It's just, it's like such a good feeling, and it weirds me out that kids these days, all they're getting is action movies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
comedy's an important part of like
it shows
human
in their
condition.
Personalities too. You can see it, because one thing about those comedies is that they all kind of then gave you this new language to use and these new references to pull out. Whether like, could you imagine like how different it'd be if as kids we didn't have things like Napoleon Dynamite and those type of things that made us, that kind of showed us that it was okay to be weird,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, and we don't get that message as much anymore, and I miss it.
That said, if you could squeeze into a superhero franchise.
Yeah, I was going to say, who would you want to be?
If
you're going MCU, or you go DC.
Either or.
Whatever you want, Mr. Funches.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
If I could go eat any type of superhero, I guess I would. This is really a Gabe question, right? I feel like you're like so pissed off in the question. Why are they asking him this question? I mean, I'm King Shark in the Harley Quinn cartoon, and that makes me real excited just to be a shark man. I was supposed to say it. I don't know.
Okay. Hey, any chance you give us a taste of what King Shark sounds like?
Yeah, you're hearing it right now. You've heard it for the last five minutes.
I love the idea of King Shark is just your normal voice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what they like too. Yeah, and then I savagely eat people on occasion. So.
Is there any other way to eat people? I think
you can eat them daintily if you want to, but that's not like how I choose.
You think cannibals never use silverware, Brian?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that's how you, when you're a real freak, you just like slowly and eat, it's like, it's not like, oh, I have other options and I'm choosing to eat human. That's yeah.
And there's a cookbook out. Yeah. So it's like
King,
extra.
King Shark has no other option. That's just the way he's born.
He's a shark.
Yeah,
supposed to eat things.
He's got to eat people. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
Okay, so live action. You go in DC or Marvel? I mean, you're DC, doing DC in the cartoon stuff.
Mm-hmm. I guess live action, I'll go with Marvel because they're the ones who are doing it and making money and doing it right. Okay. I'll go with Marvel. It's just also difficult because there's not that many like black superheroes to choose from. I have to come in and be like, I guess I'll be Black Wolverine or something.
Well, the way they recast people all the time now, who knows?
Yeah,
who
that's knows true. Yeah. That's fun, though. I like it. To me, that's what Nick Fury looks like, is Samuel L. Jackson now.
Isn't Iron Man Iron Man's a black woman now, isn't it?
Iron Man's a black woman? That's I don't get into politics.
All right. Let's switch the gears. Last time you were here, you told me your goal was you were training to wrestle a match.
Yeah.
Still working towards it?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No. That was foolish. I went to school. I did go to school for 3 months. I had a good time. I learned a lot. To me, it was really fun to... I've never been in any type of organized sports or anything like that. So I was coming to this place and they taught me a lot about like respect and kind of being like a gentleman and introducing yourself when you come into a room and shaking people's hands. And I really liked that. But I did not like doing like 300 squats and then throwing up. I did like that I learned some sequences. I learned some things. I could go and pass over people and drop down and no leapfrogs, but I can drop down. I could pass over. I could do a hip toss. And so all those things were really fun to learn. And this was that I was like, comedy is just now going well. And both of those things are actually like real passions and real focuses. And one of the things I always hated in comedy, which is fine. If you want to be a hobbyist, great. It's fun. Like, everybody should have fun doing it. But like, I love it. And people who were in this wrestling school loved wrestling. And I didn't feel like I was pulling my end because I would, you know, just skip out to go do shows and then it wasn't just hurting my progress, it was hurting whoever I was supposed to lock up with,
right.
And so I would still like to do something. It's fun. I'm still heavily in the wrestling world. One of the biggest things in wrestling for me was that this last weekend over StarCast and the All Out weekend, I got to call a match with Jerry Lawler and Mance Warner. And
I know about that. It was Friday night, right?
Yeah. Friday night. It was Friday night, and it was GCW is the company, and I worked with them on occasion and gotten a bunch of their shows, and they asked me I asked them if I could call a match, and they were like, yeah, do you want to call this Jerry Lawler match? And I was like, do I, a wrestling-loving comedian, want to call a match with a guy who wrestled Andy Kaufman? Hell yeah, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, did he pile drive Orange Cassidy? Is that what I heard?
He pile drive Mance Warner.
Mance Warner, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, he beat Mance Warner. He won the match, yeah.
Good old Jerry.
Yeah, he looked great, too. Oh, I don't know what he's on. Some type of steroid.
Yeah.
But I want him. When I get his age, I want it. That's
he's
sure.
on still on Baconators, from what I understand.
He's on a lot of things. He's on a lot of things.
So you're not going to do a whole match, but you know how to go in the ring and take a bump or something like that, going in for an angle or something like that?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I've done some fun things with my promos and stuff. I had Joey Janela super kick. He elbowed me. He didn't super kick me. He elbowed me, but he protected me very well. But I sold it, and I went down great. I know how to do a very, very small amount. And, if it ever can come into play, I can use it. I love it. I love to do that.
So, you know, a lot of the people who watch this, you know, we generally talk about comedy on the show, but you are a big wrestling fan, and you were at All Out. I was at All Out, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you a couple of times hanging around StarCast. I didn't bug you. But I have to ask you this. What's your opinion of AEW right now? How would you grade them?
I guess I grade them right now B-.
Okay.
Yeah, probably I would say B-. It's a lot of more positive than negative. A lot of little hiccups, though, you know, a lot of things with the Moxley thing, the Pac thing previously, but they always seem to kind of make good on things. I'm just always happy for more options. It's not perfect, yeah. But I don't think anything's going to be perfect, but to me, how could you not be just happy for more options for wrestlers to make more money?
Yeah, definitely.
So there's nothing negative about that to me. It's just like, some of the things where they were like, oh, is this going to be more sporty or more inclusive? I love. And then I see some things that are kind of glaring mistakes. Like they had that thing at the Fighter Festival thing where they had like the lady models out there. And then they came in and replaced them with mannequins. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, like for a company that your tagline is how inclusive and progressive you are. That's such a weird sight to see, is to see these like models that you have for no reason. And then you replace half of them with mannequins, which is just telling me that these women aren't valuable, you know?
Yeah. Well, I thought the whole point of that was kind of the opposite, was we can't afford them. So he had to get rid of a couple of them.
Yeah, I can see both sides of that. But it's just when you have them stand, it just was, I don't think they thought about the visual of seeing the women standing next to these mannequins. But there's this meme of this one girl side-eyeing a mannequin. Like she's like, this mannequin's hotter than I am. It's just little things like that I don't really enjoy. But overall, I support, it's just easier to support people when you're like, oh, I've met these guys. I've shaken their hands. Sure. I've looked them in the eye. And they all seem like great people who love wrestling. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great when it gets to be on TV.
All right. So let's talk about you a little bit more. I was just curious as your opinions there.
We could talk wrestling the whole time.
I'm sure we could. And maybe we just might get back there. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you this question today. Would you... your Comedy Central special, Giggle Fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest name for a stand-up special ever. I love it. How'd you come up with it?
I mean, I wanted to call it Beyonce for Boys at first, and then I realized that people might think that was probably just a new Beyonce album.
Well, that's not the worst.
Which
mistake.
Really probably would help.
It might hurt. I think it might hurt, actually. But it could have helped. You guys might be right. I might have made a big mistake. But so then it was just like, I mean, that's what I want people to do in my special. That's what I wanted to produce. That's what people like about me is my giggle.
Right.
And then it was also like, oh, I lost a bunch of weight. So it just made a lot of sense in multiple reasons for me. And also it was just like, I felt like a lot of titles either try to be way too serious or like are abstract, and I wanted mine to be like, hey, you're supposed to have a good time. I want to have fun for this whole thing. This whole event is just a big giggle fit.
So when you find out that Comedy Central is going to give you an hour to do a special, what was the first thing you did after you got that phone call?
I think I just started planning. I started planning my opening.
No celebration?
No, because not the taping time. No. I that's been the focus of this whole year, is to relax more and have more fun, because actually I was mostly mad that whole time because I wanted to go on Netflix, you know, like most of the people.
So what happened there?
They just didn't, they didn't feel at the time that I was an hour worthy of an hour special.
You're kidding. So would they offer you a half hour, or did they offer you nothing?
Yeah, I mean, half hour. And I had done a half hour with Comedy Central before, and I had done my album. And so it was less, like, it wasn't money-based. It wasn't, like, exposure-based. It was like, I'm getting older in it. I'm not old by any means, but I'm like, oh, I've been doing this, and if I want to produce something, I want to show people my thing. I want to do an hour. I want to show them what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tried to convince me on that the half hour was a better route for me, and I didn't feel like that.
May I ask a question about that?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Questions.
Were they trying to like put you on one of their special things, like where they're doing like comedians around the world, were they trying to like shovel you in like a series with a half hour, or
I mean, I won't use the word shovel in, but it's, yeah, the one with that Kyle Kinane and Brent Moore and those that group. They asked me to do that, and just the way they talked about it and the way they were like, well, we want to bring people in. This is kind of our, like, general way of bringing people into the thing, and this so that they could come and find you. And I was like, well, this, that doesn't really work for me as a comedian, because I'm not a comedian that kind of fits into a thing like that. Like, I stand out for good or bad. So either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. But you watching Kyle's special may help me, you know. You may be like, okay, I like Kyle, so let me check out the next one. But odds are not, you know. So, and also, I think any comedian, any artist, they just want to stand out. So I was like, I don't want to be in a group. I don't want to do a thing. I don't want to. That doesn't make any sense to me. I go, if you, because their whole thing was like, people don't watch the hours as much. There's less engagement. So I was like, well, then why would I want to be in the middle of a 3-hour block?
Yeah.
You know,
it's very logical.
That doesn't make sense to me. So I just went with Comedy Central, which had always been big supporters of my comedy. They were like, we'd love to give you an hour. That would be great. And so I went with that, even though it was kind of like, it was a toss up, because I knew I was cutting myself off to a lot of overseas people, mm-hmm, you know, because Comedy Central doesn't. It got aired separately in Canada. So it was like, you know, and you had to have cable, or you had to go spend $5 and buy it on iTunes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just, fighting people's perception that Netflix is the place to be. And so when I knew I was going to get a special, the biggest thing was like, how can I make it stand out? How can I make it different? How can I make Netflix know they made a fucking mistake?
And how do you think you did?
I think I nailed it.
I think you did too, man.
From meetings that I've had afterwards, I think I nailed it. So,
I would say, man, just from the way that they promoted it, I mean, that looked like it was going to be the special of the year on Comedy Central. I feel like they treated you very, very well.
Yeah, you can tell they were very damn happy to have you.
Yeah, no, they were happy with it from the moment we taped it. And, I mean, everything about it, I wanted... As my girlfriend says, like, she's like, who cares about, like, what popular, whatever. She's like, your stuff, you go for classy. And I wanted to be classy. Yeah. Where we shot it was classy. Bobcat Goldthwait directed it. So there's, like, a legendary comedian directing it as well. Ric Flair is in it. Yes. And so there's all these things that, like, just make it stand out. And then, because that was the thing where I felt like with Netflix, they didn't. People either get you or they don't, you know, and like I think they understood my value a little bit, but they don't get me.
Right.
And so their whole thing at the end was like, do this half hour. And I was like, no, I go, thank you. Send the offer if you'd like. I will tell you up front, we're probably going to turn it down just because it doesn't interest me. It's not a challenge to me. I want to do something that's challenging. I've never done an hour, so that terrifies me.
Right.
Half hour does not terrify me. And so I want to do the thing that terrifies me. And so, and then they were like, well, what if we shot it in a wrestling ring? And I was like, oh, you think I'm a dummy.
I know. What a stupid idea.
Yeah, it's a horrible idea.
Did the Hall of Fame look stupid doing that?
Yeah,
everything looks stupid in a wrestling ring, but wrestling.
Exactly,
and
I'm not Ron the Wrestling Man Funches.
Right.
I'm a comedian that loves many things. It wasn't like, why don't we do it in my son's room? Like, you know, if we're gonna, we do it in a weed shop. I love all these things. I'm not just one thing.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, you don't get me. You don't get the power that actually that I can bring by the fact that I love wrestling. Because I knew from the get-go, if I embrace these things, wrestling fans are some of the most loyal fans in the fucking planet.
And they're good people, man.
And they're stick with you. They'll stick with you from the beginning till the end. They might talk shit the whole time, but they stick with you, and they buy things. And so I was like, why would I not embrace that? And that's who I am, and that's what I love. And I think they learned right away, because the biggest deal that happened from it was that The Rock tweeted about it. And The Rock tweeting about it made my special trend, and it was the first special for Comedy Central that had trended that year.
look at Netflix. They don't get a goddamn special that trends on Twitter. Ever. Ever.
I don't know. Well, that last Chappelle one seems to make some headlines.
The Chappelle one.
Yeah.
The Chappelle one definitely. I fucked up there. The Chappelle one definitely trended. But up until then, if you're not, that's Dave Chappelle.
Right.
I wouldn't have trended.
Right.
You know? I trended because I saw the thing and The Rock tweeted about it and it became a thing. And then it was like, that's the power of it. That's why you should have taken me seriously, is because I'm talking about something that I love that other people love as well.
Yeah.
And so I think they learn very quickly, and that makes, because Comedy Central, they definitely were happy about
When's your next one with Comedy Central?
I don't know. I'm not really worried about it.
You got an open door,
it.
Though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a hell of a story.
Thank you.
No, it really is. It's fascinating because it shows someone who understands themselves, number one, self-aware. I know where I play strongest, and I know what I'm looking to do for me, versus the people who are like, Netflix called! Let me jump on board and sign up. It's fascinating. It really, really is. So I want to step back a little bit and discuss the giggle. I want to discuss your own giggle, your giggle. That is a very powerful tool, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. I try not to overuse it or really use it. I just let it come naturally. If I'm laughing, I'm laughing. But I don't try to. There's a thing, since we talk about Chappelle and pro comedians, like he has a tool where he pops the mic on his thigh and he walks away. And it's a natural thing for him. But in this last special, the thing where I noticed was like, oh, you're using this to cover up some jokes that aren't as sharp as they should be.
The runaway from the center stage.
Yeah.
I noticed it too.
And so I kind of go like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to use it to prop up a bad joke. If it happens, I want it to be genuine. And it's just a thin line, you know, because that's a natural thing he's doing. I'm not trying to put it down. It's like as a comics, you start to know. You're like, okay, that was natural, but this one, you know that punchline wasn't strong, and you just tried to cover it up by walking away.
But here's the thing, though. With the giggle, it'll work. Like, if you do that giggle, it's going to go over.
Yeah, but if I do it the whole time, it'll get old.
Sure.
You can tell it's natural watching, because it's the same laugh you have off stage too. Like, it's not like a made-up.
I'm not accusing you of anything here. I'm just asking because it's so fascinating when there's just something that comes out of you like that people just absolutely adore. It's got to be a blessing and a curse sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a curse that turned into a blessing. You know, it was like when I was a kid or a teenager, nobody really was like, "You got a cool, fun voice." It was people were like, "You sound weird for a black guy." or I guess any guy, really.
You got a cool, fun voice.
Yeah. But now, I mean, that's something I always...
Anybody ever tell you sound like Man Shark?
You sound like you could be a giraffe that poops cupcakes. But that's the best thing. It's taking things that people used to make fun of me about, things that I used to stick out in, you know, Chicago or even in Oregon about, and now those are the things that pay my bills, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I would say it's amazing. You got any questions, Brian?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, because I went through this for a short amount of time, a couple years ago. You have your mother living with you now?
Mm-hmm. She's been back and forth, because now my sister just had a baby.
Oh.
And so she's been in Arizona helping her raise the baby. So for about a year, my mom was just with me directly. And I thought it was going to suck, especially because when it was first happening, I was fully single. But it turned out to be really fun, really cool. My mom's, we just learned more about each other as adults, and having her live in my house is such a difference.
Have you grounded her yet?
I have.
That's what I was going to ask about. That was the problem with my mom living with us. She didn't understand that. It's my house.
Yeah.
More importantly, it's my wife's house.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd butt heads a little bit about stuff like that. But.
Yeah, I could see that my mom would like to organize things in a certain way and things like that happen. But she also, you know, she had her own little area, and so that was good. But the best thing was just, because before, you know, when I was younger, so she'd always try to get me to quit smoking pot. She'd always put me down about it. And then she came to live with me, and now she's smoking a bunch of pot all the time. Smoking.
You corrupted your own mother.
I did. She loves it. She came to visit because, you know, she's in Arizona with my sister, and when she came to visit, she's had me buy her a bunch of weed, and then she even stole more of my weed and took it back with her to Arizona.
I just imagine you and your mom giggling together. I just really think it would be adorable.
But it's different. We've been high at the same time together, but we have never smoked together. She doesn't want to do that.
Yeah,
we even went to Amsterdam together. We even went to Amsterdam together, and she refused to smoke with me. Mm. But she wants to keep that.
I heard you're not. They're going to make it so you can't in Amsterdam anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's like if you don't live there, you're not allowed to.
I've heard that so
like
many
tourist,
years, though.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those terrifying. Maybe that's just some pothead rumor that it's a cautionary tale to scare your children.
No, I think the city always they go back and forth on it because they would lose all their tourism money if they did that. That would be so
all
stupid.
We'd be left was just the whores.
Yeah,
that's all we'd have.
Just so people just being whores and doing mushrooms all the time.
Yeah.
I guess it still sounds fun. Let's go.
We got a question from Chris. He wants to know, what does a Ron Funches heel turn look like?
What is a heel turn for me? I mean, find out and say something mean to me on Twitter.
I was going to say, you can be pretty savage on it.
Oh, yeah. If I'm, usually I got to be on the road away from my girlfriend because she'll put the kibosh on it real quick because she wants me to be classy. I love it. But I tell Chess, usually, but for being serious, like when I'm like, oh, I'm being out of line is like if I feel disrespected, if I feel like people are putting me down, and sometimes I'll get into this place where I'm like, do you know who I am? I have a house and I got money. And it's like, I feel like, oh, you're being a fucking jerk right now.
That's great. I got a one-hour stand-up special on Comedy Central. The Rock tweeted about me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But none
Netflix
of that fucking,
no.
Good, yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, but more people tell me no.
It's just, I just love that just people that think it bothers you. Like, because I've been doing internet stuff for like 20 years, and people just say nasty shit to you. And I just love sitting there going, they think this bothers me.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Well, you
like,
are a terrible webcam
care.
Model, so you really deserve
yeah.
all the criticism. Keep your clothes. I love the internet.
Clean them feet if you're going to be a foot model. But, I mean, sometimes it does bother me. That's usually the thing that I try to – that's why I respond is usually to let people know because people try to treat you like you're not a human anymore, that they don't have to talk to you like a regular person or how they would talk to you if they met you face-to-face. And so usually if someone gets like that, I'm like, I'll let it go, but sometimes I'm in a bad mood or sometimes I'm feeling bad about myself. And if you hit a nerve, I'll be like, well, let me – I'm probably better at talking shit than you.
Yeah,
so let me look at your profile for a little bit and talk trash to you.
That's what I've actually said to people who just kept going on comments like that. I'd be like, you know I do this for a living, right?
Yeah.
Like, you might want to stop.
Then I hate, my most thing I hate is when people are like, you got just all this time, you must be a loser, your career must not be going well. And it's like, no, I got all this free time because my career is going well.
Right.
Yeah. I'm relaxing while
I
do this.
I'm not working right now because I don't have to.
Hey, Ron, last question. We got to let you go this morning. This one, they didn't leave a name, but they want to know, what do you think about Jericho losing the belt this week?
Oh, hilarious. Hilarious. You know he was just drunk and threw it out the fucking limo.
They found it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Which makes me question what was really going on there. Like, did somebody just bail on it because they didn't want to, like, get caught with
I
it?
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, probably somebody did bail on it. Probably the person who said they found it on the side of the road bailed on it.
Yeah.
Probably got it out of that back of that limo or something. Oh, but it's cool. It's a beautiful belt. I touched it. It's real, real beautiful and heavy. It's so heavy.
They valued it at $30,000.
I know. Yeah. It looks amazing.
But and then just Jericho, the genius he is, just turned it into a gimmick immediately.
Yeah, your favorite just sassy drunk aunt. That's Chris Jericho.
the scarves, the hats. This is a sassy drunk aunt, and I love him.
Yeah. You're welcome, Chris. Ron Funches, ladies and gentlemen. Four more shows this week at the Comedy at the Carlson. We also should mention your feature act, who's great.
Yeah.
Gabe Dinger's here. You'll be able to see him this weekend. And Brian is your MC. We apologize. It's going to be a good show, though. You're going to love it. Brian fucked up really hard last night. He called him Dave Ginger?
I stopped you call before it? I said Ginger, but okay. That's where I was heading towards.
Dave Ginger.
The only thing I laughed at that hard last night was him messing up and you, sir, you killed me.
Yeah, that made me laugh. That's the part where I was really laughing because I was like, your set was good, but then you fucking up got such a big laugh where I was like, that sucks.
But here's the thing, though. Complete transparency. That huge laugh that you heard in the green room, that was me from the back of the
room. Oh, that was just you.
Dude, I lost it. I lost it.
We
Dave, ladies and gentlemen, you're featuring Dave. Stupid idiot.
That's a cool name. You should just go by Dave. Yeah. Like, that's cool as fuck. You sound like a 20-year-old fragrance model.
Dave, available now by Estee Lauder. We'll be back with news with Ross, Rod Funches. As always, thank you seriously for coming to doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
We always appreciate it, man.
Of course.
You're the great. You're the goat in our book. We love you, man.
Aww.
So we'll be back. Don't forget to see Ron Funches four more shows. Stay tuned. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right, we are back. How about that Ron Funches, gentlemen? Class
very,
act.
Very funny man.
Class
amazing.
Act. Amazing.
Love him.
Fantastic.
Great. Ross?
Good get.
Ross, I have
That's
a question.
That's what I say. Yes, sir.
How are you going to depress everyone with the news this week?
No, I'm starting out on a good one, and then we'll move into depressing. So I've mixed things up.
Oh, good.
No, yes.
Good. That's good.
All right. Well, I guess that means it's time for stand-up news with Ross Johnson. Take it away.
Everyone's dead. There's no more news.
Finally.
So one of my favorite funny people in the entire world had a milestone birthday just yesterday.
My birthday's in June.
Your birthday's in June. Yeah. But I forgot about it, so we're just going to talk about it now.
Okay. Yeah, for him reporting a June birthday in August, that's
pretty
right
good.
On time.
That's about pretty good.
He's 2 years early.
I'm feeling good about this.
Okay.
It's for next year.
All right, who are you really talking about? Oh, that old guy.
Milestone birthday. So just yesterday, that's September 5th, if you're listening or tuning in late, but Bob Newhart turned 90 years old.
Wow.
Good so all my favorite...
I love Bob Newhart.
I do, too. All my favorite comedians are... Half of my favorite comedians are in their 90s. So this is, I'm going to have a rough couple years coming up probably.
Dick
but,
Van Dyke?
His stand-up.
Dick Van Dyke, absolutely.
His stand-up was really tremendous.
Yeah.
Because he almost did an improv-y act-out kind of a style where he would do a full sketch by himself, playing different characters and just pretending the other characters were there. That's really impressive.
Well, and he, you know, he's sort of known for the TV shows, but his stand-up, still holds up. I mean, it's
still
funny,
great.
You know,
still
it's still
great.
Funny. Yeah. He got started, like, he was an accountant, I think, who was just, like, telling jokes and, like, a friend. I mean, it was a very...
Bothering his friends.
Kind of bothering his friends, yeah. And I guess somebody knew, like, a comedy guy and they needed somebody to do an album. And he basically, like, they didn't realize...
stuff.
Yeah, they didn't realize he wasn't really a comedian. So he practically had a contract before he even had an act or, like, a venue.
Right.
And, you know, so it was sort of a, he had sort of a quick rise, but I mean, those comedy albums were huge, like
absolutely.
In the '60s. So,
if you've never listened to any Bob Newhart stuff, hit the YouTube, hit the YouTube this week in honor of Bob.
Watch it now before it gets sad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Watch it now before Ross has to report on him again.
I feel like after 90, though, it gets less sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you start to get to a point where it's like, good. You know, good for
that
you.
That makes sense.
So,
all right, what
he's
else
got
you
another
got?
10 years in him. Okay, so Kevin Hart. Let's get depressing.
Oh boy, that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is. I mean, it's actually, I mean, it's a sad story that he was involved in this accident, but looking at the car,
it's amazing he was alive.
Yeah, so he so Kevin Hart was in an automobile accident about a week ago. He was with a couple friends, driver of two other people in the car.
We're gonna call them ex-friends now.
Well, apparently the lost control of the vehicle, rolled down an embankment, and this was the result. Kevin Hart is, I guess he's in, not
go
great.
Go to a full screen on my computer, Cam.
Yeah,
look at this.
And that's a 70 Challenger. Mm-hmm. They were not big on safety equipment back at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
have you guys ever driven on Mulholland Drive?
Like, I have not.
It's all turns.
It's terrifying. Like,
I've seen it in movies.
It's like at best a thin wood fence, and then death on the other side of it.
It's sort of amazing when you think about the amount of drugs and alcohol in Hollywood that people are driving on Mulholland Drive, and there aren't more incidents. But all three people are alive. Kevin Hart's, I guess he's injured his back in three places. The doctors are saying that they expect him to make a full recovery. It's going to take a while.
How long is he going to be on the shelf, you think?
Dr.
Ross, how long is he going to be on the shelf?
I'd say at least months. Okay. I mean, at least months. Yeah. But,
God damn it, Vinny. I'm a terrible news comedy reporter.
The prognosis is not good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was looking for updates, and I didn't see anything other than he hurt his back.
The latest update was, I guess the latest update I saw was they released that he had three spine fractures. But again, the doctors seem to be confident that eventually he'll be able to make a recovery.
The last update I heard was that he's in a lot of pain. But
and he's even an inch shorter.
I think it's osteoporosis.
Not the most depressing story, but it's in there. So Eddie Murphy, not too much else depressing coming up. So just
everybody's okay. It's too much.
Yeah. So Eddie Murphy, we had talked about him. Still in the works. Still a little rumored, but we had talked about the big multi tens of millions of dollars Netflix deal. Now he's saying he's planning on doing a comedy tour in 2020. Might be related to that, so he's
Mark. Start making vote calls.
Absolutely,
no way we get him. We'll be at the Auditorium Theater.
Well, if you call him now, I mean, it's early.
Yeah, he'll be like, so listen, I'll come play your club. It'll be
before he gets
65 million.
Before he gets famous, call him now.
He's on the rise. he's
give a nice shot to an up and comer.
Yep. You get so 70 million from Netflix for this special, supposedly.
Yeah, and the comedy tour, again, I don't know if this may or may not, not a lot of details on either one, but they might be related, might be, might not be entirely related. He's got Dolomite Is My Name coming up. He's got Coming to America. So he's got a full-on comeback, and for the first time in 35 years, he's going to host SNL on December 21st.
What a Christmas gift to the world.
It's true.
Happy holidays.
How much do you think tickets are going to be to go see Eddie Murphy?
Oh, probably $90, $100.
No, I was thinking like $200.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to be $150 for cheap seats, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd pay it, but I might. I mean, I said this before on the show. I'm going to be interested to see what his stand-up looks like in 2019. Because I remember what it looks like back in the day, and it was groundbreaking and marvelous. Doesn't necessarily hold up.
I think he's smart enough to change it up. I don't think he's going to do that same kind of stuff this time.
Yeah, I think so too. But we'll find out. I'm cautiously optimistic about what Eddie Murphy's going to do.
Yeah, I mean he's a major talent of our time.
And seriously, dude, I've been waiting for Pluto Nash 2. I want to find out what happens.
Yeah. I want Nutty Professor 3.
All right,
3, 4.
They already did 3. Keep going.
I want the back-to-back Pluto film trilogy.
I know what I'm doing later.
Speaking of SNL, Leslie Jones, I'm just throwing this out there because I love her. She's leaving SNL after 5 years and 3 Emmy nominations. No. She's going to focus on her new Netflix stand-up special, which is going to air in 2020, but she's heading out.
Good for her.
Next season, so she's moving on. Finally, I know we don't like to promote other clubs here, but I might have an offer for people that they can't refuse. In Ronkonkoma, this weekend, Chris Morgan, also known as the Angry Bagel Guy, is going to be doing a stand-up set.
I like that picture. He's doing his best imitation of a bagel.
Yep.
So, I mean, what a little asshole. What am I looking at?
So this was a guy who, there was sort of a viral YouTube video where he...
Right on there.
went into a bagel shop and started screaming about women.
I wanted to dome on that guy.
And he's short, yeah. He's angry because he's short and women won't date him. He's also got a YouTube stream, which I guess he had before this, where he talks about all sorts of categories of people that he doesn't like. Yeah. You can imagine he's not a woke individual. So if you like your comedy not PC, might be worth checking out The Angry Bagel Guy. I'm saying this because this is terrible, of course.
I mean, I'm sure that...
Unless anyone thinks I'm encouraging you to go see this.
Yeah, do not go check out The Bagel Guy.
This bothers my spite to my heart.
Okay,
we're not saying you should rent a car and like
leave Staten Island
into the club at Ronkonkoma when no one's there.
We're not saying you should go there and pelt him with bagels. Should,
but you could.
I go to face his Mercury Sable.
We're not saying you should, but you could do that.
I mean, is this like a Stormy Daniels situation where...
No, this is worse.
No, okay. It's way worse.
Much worse.
Okay.
Stormy Daniels is a performer.
True.
Where
some would say that.
This is just some asshole who got caught on a camera being an asshole.
Yeah.
And now...
And getting beat up. I would rather book the guy who beat him up. Yeah. Like the guy who tackled him
on the same night.
Yeah,
in the same town.
How? Just put a ring in there. So, I'd rather watch that. But this is a situation.
On the flip side, you're going to be able to afford him, which you won't be able to afford Eddie Murphy. So
we don't have a room small enough for him to play Ross.
Maybe, or maybe it's going to be huge, Vinny. I don't know.
It's not.
I'm sure it's in Ronkonkoma, Wisconsin, right?
No, it's in New York.
Oh, is it in New
York? Yeah, in Long Island.
I thought Ronkonkoma was in
He can play
it's
our
in Long Island, you dumb.
Yep.
People will go.
This is
people
a great example.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you right now, whoever the manager is and whoever the booker of this is, they are slightly shady. There's something weird going on.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
They really, like, for the fact that...
Dung, dung.
They're like, I got an idea. It's not like this guy's been working on a special for 10 years. It's not like this guy's ever hit an open mic.
Yeah.
It's, oh, this guy has this many YouTube hits. We should put him on a stage and charge money and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, for that being said, he's a sad, angry man whose life is about to get sadder.
What if he's really good? How bad would we all feel? I've made Vinny speechless.
Yeah.
Like,
I've rendered him speechless.
I used to think you were stupid.
Like,
He's saying what
good.
If.
What if he's good?
He's not.
I'm sure he's
but
not.
But what if?
I'm sure he's not, but what if he's good?
Okay, what if he's good? The cream rises to the top, right?
Will we apologize or will we still remain angry?
Oh, I'm not going to apologize to this guy. Why would I ever apologize?
Same, because Brian. He gets a bit saucy if you make him angry.
That's true.
It's saucy.
He's easily provoked.
He's also easily beaten up, though, so I suppose it's not...
You just gotta
what's he
going to
do? What's he
going to
do?
I want to fight you. Like,
the disclaimer here is his being short is not the worst thing about him. So
right.
For any short jokes, that's not the worst thing about him.
He just... The whole thing, they had him on Stern. Jim and Sam had him on. He was on doing media all over the country. Did anybody hear what he said?
Oh, my God, yeah.
He sucks.
Not a good guy.
This guy sucks. Yeah. If anybody met this man, anyway, that's the problem with our society, that we would even take a minute to continue the conversation, to continue the dialogue with this blowhard.
Yeah.
And he did
blowhard.
He did it all out of order. You're supposed to, like, do stand-up and then get caught screaming.
And then freak out.
On a camera, not the other way around.
Right. This guy is going to be president. That's the end of the Carlson cast.
No.
We're done. Thanks for tuning in this week. Remember, if you're listening to us out of the country, I want to hear from you, carlsoncast@gmail.com. The rest of you, please enjoy Ron Funches at the club this weekend. Rate and review. We love you to death. Brian, I hate you. Ross, adequate as usual. Cam, you're a sweet boy, but you should shut up more. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed.